This is 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair, and welcome to this week's edition of Issues of the Environment. Coming up in January, another deer cull will begin in Ann Arbor. Herd populations in the area are significant enough. Property damages have impacted neighborhoods. There are a number of car versus deer accidents in the area every year. For those affected, the cull makes sense. There are many who are opposed to the cull and some who are opposed to hunting altogether. And that's just in this area. Herd populations are increasing in many areas of Michigan. So the question begs, what is the most effective manner of game management and are we considering all options? My guest today has been exploring the variety of issues that contribute to where we find ourselves today. Randy Baker is the owner and chief naturalist for Naturalist Endeavors. And thank you so much for the time today, Randy. I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. Glad to.
First of all, I want to identify what it is you do and where you do it. Naturalist Endeavors is a Michigan-based company, and you're about providing educational programs to schools, libraries, and other organizations. You also conduct natural history tours in Michigan and a variety of places around the globe. So what are you trying to impart through these endeavors?
Well, what I try to do is provide information to people so they understand how the world really works. I sometimes call it the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, we deal with science. That's the primary function. Our goal is to educate. You know, our goal is not to make people happy necessarily, but to give them accurate information.
So when you are educating and you are conducting these guided tours, do you have a particular viewpoint you are trying to impart?
It's not a particular viewpoint. We try to teach scientific concepts, interrelationships between plants, animals, and their environment. That's probably the primary focus of most of the programs and most of the tours that I do. We try to tie it all together.
As part of your role as a naturalist, you've studied white-tailed deer in Michigan for decades and looked at the science of that and the impacts. We know populations in northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula are actually on the decline, but the population is exploding in southern Michigan. First of all, why is it on the decline up north?
From my experience, I grew up in northern Michigan. I grew up near Alpena. And the forests and the habitat are not what they used to be. For example, cedar swamps used to provide both winter shelter and a steady food supply for the deer. Well, they've been over-browsed by the deer for so many years, there is literally very little browse within reach in our cedar swamps anymore. So winter food supply is definitely limited in some of our northern forests. They've altered their own environment. A deer can literally eat themselves out of house and home, and they've been very efficient at doing that.
So why are the factors that are controlling populations up north not working in southern Michigan and right around here?
Well, what's lowered their numbers up north is literally the lack of food, in my opinion. It's not a matter of the hunting and so on. It's a matter of the habitat won't support what it used to because the deer population was allowed to be too high. In southern Michigan, the deer were absent for a number of years. They basically disappeared in the 1880s, and in recent decades, they've come back in. Unfortunately, in my view, what's going to happen, eventually they will destroy some of their own habitat down here, and again, the numbers will come down. I've seen some indirect statistics that dealing with roadkill. For a number of years in Michigan, we were killing an average of 60 to 62,000 reported car deer accidents a year. The last couple of years, that's dropped down to, you know, 40-some thousand. So to me, that tells me the number's already starting to decline in some areas. And to me, it's probably most likely due to habitat destruction.
Issues of the Environment in our conversation with naturalist Randy Baker continues on 89.1 WEMU. We know that this current generation of millennials is not taking to the forests and hunting in the numbers that some of the boomers and past generations did. Is the decline in recreational hunting playing into the deer population figures and what we're seeing?
To some degree, yeah, because every time a hunter removes a deer from the habitat, you know, uses for his own consumption, he's actually allowing 2,000 pounds of vegetation to survive. Each deer consumes somewhere between 2,000 and 2,500 pounds of food a year. And that's food that could be for rabbits and birds and squirrels and insects and so on. And so every time an individual animal is removed, it allows more food for the surviving deer so they can actually be larger and healthier animals, and also provides food for a variety of other species.
And speaking of other species, are there failures among us humans in protecting the natural predators that would help better manage deer populations?
The biggest problem with natural predators, most of our natural predators that would actually help control the deer population, are relatively intolerant of hanging around human civilization. You know, wolves are not going to tolerate us here in southern Michigan. They're probably the main predator in some areas, but not here. They wouldn't put up with us humans is what it boils down to. about the only natural predator they have, literally, are humans and, unfortunately, cars.
Some of the other issues that we've seen regarding deer are diseases, chronic wasting disease, eastern equine encephalitis, and epizootic hemorrhagic disease, some of which translate to public health threats for humans as well. If there is a continued increase or even a steady herd population, what might those threats look like in a decade or two?
It's hard to predict what it's going to look like in a decade or two because my guess from my observations is that the deer herd is going to go down in many areas simply because they've destroyed the habitat. And say, well, to some people, well, gee, that solves any problem of overpopulation. But in reality, they're going to be going down and taking the habitat with them. And they're going to be taking many, many other species with them. When deer numbers go up, the bird populations go down. Small herbivores go down, rabbit numbers go down, because the deer are literally wiping out the food sources for other species. But, you know, to some people say, well, let nature take its course. This is not a natural situation. Some people say, well, gee, the numbers are high. You know, the deer have always been there. And the reality is the numbers are higher than what they traditionally would have been because we humans have altered the habitat. Deer are like a mixture of fields and forests. They're not a big forest animal. They like what we call ecotones or edges. So just by how we humans live, we've temporarily at least increased deer habitat. So their numbers have skyrocketed. And the problem with that is it's going to be temporary. But while they're here, they are consuming so much food, they're causing other species to disappear. And some people say they disappear. It's just a nice word for meaning they're dying. A lot of species are disappearing from our forests. In fact, some research has shown us 73 species of birds are in major decline in some forests where deer numbers are high.
Once again, we're talking with the owner of Natural Endeavors, Randy Baker, on 89.1 WEMU's Issues of the Environment. So let's talk about some of the solutions. There have been some who have stood up and said, we need to consider as a state and as a part of policy to commercialize hunting in Michigan again, which I don't think's happened in more than a century, right?
Right, yeah. Commercial hunting took place in Michigan in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and then it was eliminated. It was unregulated, and they literally wiped out species, the deer from southern Michigan.
Where do you stand on commercialized hunting? Could that be a part of a solution, or should that be a part of a solution?
To be honest, I don't think the public would stand for it. Obviously, our hunting methods are not taking care of them. Personally, I think it is an option, but it would fly like a lead balloon. our history has history shows a bad, left a sour taste in people's mouth as far as commercial hunting, and I don't think it would fly.
Yeah, and it would be very brave of any politician to put it forward.
Right, I can't imagine any politician that's going to support that, or anybody with a DNR that's going to support that. It's just not going to fly. Unfortunately, what we're doing right now with our licenses isn't working either. We are getting fewer and fewer hunters out there, and I think some of it has to do with changes in hunting policies.
As you well know, the city of Ann Arbor hires sharpshooters to come in on an annual basis now in the month of January, and they cull a number of animals. As a naturalist, do you see this as a management plan that is something that would be sustainable moving forward, or is this a Band-Aid on a gaping wound?
It can work on a limited basis at limited sites. When you get places, for example, like Ann Arbor, it can be done and can help the environment locally. Done on a statewide level, I don't know as if it's practical, but at local communities, it is definitely, to me, it's advisable.
You'll certainly have some who agree with you entirely and some who disagree entirely, and that is a part of the public discourse. So let me ask you this, and let me put it in this framework. Based on your decades of experience in science and in natural history and your years out in the woods studying these issues, define for me, if you could, a management plan you think would work best first in the short term and then in the longer term, because obviously we're going to have to be adaptable to changing conditions.
The only thing that's going to work in the long term and on a large scale is for public hunting. But I think it's got to be changed to where it's more convenient for the hunter. In recent years, they tend to have gone towards trophies, they call quality deer management, try to get more and more large antlers. And unfortunately, that's great for the person that wants a trophy. But that's not necessarily, in my opinion, the most effective way of lowering the deer herd. And if we're trying to save the environment for the deer and other species, you've got to come up with a way where hunters are more willing to spend the time in the forest. And my view would be to change our hunting seasons a bit, perhaps keep bow season primarily in October, but move the rifle season or gun season up to November 1st to make it the entire month of November. Make it easier for people to hunt with firearms. It's more efficient than bow hunting. And if you've got people out there in the woods when the weather's a little warmer than late November, I think we'd get more hunter participation.
For those who say, you know, we know how to raise food without hunting at all.
To me, the hunting issue isn't so much a matter of whether we need to provide food for humans or not. I mean, it's a wonderful food source. But nonetheless, even if we're not for food or for human consumption, the deer need to be thin because they are literally wiping out other species. You know, when we say bird numbers are going down, that doesn't mean they flew off to some other place.
They're going extinct.
It means that the population is declining, and that means they're dying, literally dying at a faster rate than they could be recruited through birth. And small birds starving because it cannot get enough insects because the deer ate the plants that the insects depended on is a slow way to die. So death is part of nature. But unfortunately, the deer are so adaptive, their numbers stay high at the expense of many other species. And we could literally lose a lot of species. Our ground nesting birds in particular are really suffering. But they're finding when deer numbers go up, even the birds at mid-level canopy in the forest, their numbers go down when deer numbers go up as well. The deer eat the plants that the insects depend on, and most plant-eating insects are specialists. They might feed on 100 or 200 plants only in the entire world or one family of plants. When that species is gone, so is the insects, and then so are the insect-eating birds. A good example is our maple trees. We can't hardly regenerate a new sugar maple forest. The deer eat them faster than they can grow. One deer can consume up to somewhere between 10 and 15,000 one-year-old maple seedlings in a single day. When you've got a population of 750,000 deer doing that, the trees don't stand a chance. We've got about 120 species of butterflies and moths alone whose caterpillars can only digest the maple leaves of our native maple. So when those forests can't be regenerated, we would expect those 120 species of butterflies and moths to be in major decline or even totally disappear, and then makes them no longer a food source for the birds. And bird populations around the world, including the United States here, are in major decline.
Well, we've talked about how the biggest threat to deer has been and will continue to be humans. And what we have not discussed is how we as humans have chose to build and develop our communities and the impact that has on the ecology of our wildlife. So do we, as a part of our public policy and public conversation, need to start thinking about changing the manner in which we do develop to better protect these species?
I think we do. One thing that we could honestly do to help save some of these species or improve the populations is simply to plant native species rather than foreign species. A good example is Norway maple. A Norway maple provides food for about 20 species of caterpillars that turn into butterflies and moths. Our native species, as I've already said, produce food for 120 species. So sometimes communities might be able to regulate plant native species versus alien species, and that would help the environment dramatically.
Hey, Randy, I'd like to thank you for your time and your perspective today. I truly appreciate it.
Well, glad to.
That is Randy Baker, the owner and chief naturalist for Naturalist Endeavors and our guest for Issues of the Environment. This segment is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner, and it's heard each Wednesday. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.